Hey folks, my name is Jason Spies and I travel across these great states talking to small business owners, CEOs, policymakers, musicians, and mentors about making money, giving back, and balancing life. I find out how they prioritize professional and personal time while still making money. Yes, indeed, our guests are real heavyweights in understanding business and life. So get ready to relax, learn a little bit, and get a cup of coffee ready because my name is Jason Spies and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio.
Sitting on a million, sitting on it every day. Can't make no money giving your stuff away. Why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
Welcome to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for joining us here on Coffee and Capitalism Radio, a place where business owners, CEOs, mentors, aspiring entrepreneurs come to sit and have a cup of coffee and talk about ideas, inspiration, and innovation right here on Coffee and Capitalism, a place where we learn how to make money and give back, learn the fine art of balancing work and family life, all while prioritizing your time. Once again, welcome to Coffee and Capitalism Radio. My name is Jason Spies. I'm your host. This is part of the Crude Life Media Network, and we got a fantastic program in store for you today. We start off the program talking with Chris Stone with HCI Alternatives. They're out of Illinois, and they have a very interesting program going on where they figured out a way to combat this opioid epidemic using cannabis. You're going to want to stick around for that. In fact, it is so revolutionary that the state legislature is introducing a bill that will greatly impact the medicinal cannabis industry. Then we switch gears and head to Kansas, where we go out to a solar-powered pump jack. That's right, a solar-powered pump jack. And we talk with Jeff Bass and Lee Lindquist of Ridge Enterprises, and they explain the genesis behind their solar-powered pump jack and describe the technology, how it works, and even some of the financial parts of the project, that environmental tech project happening with Ridge Enterprises in Kansas. Okay, and then we talk with professional wrestler, author, speaker Austin Aries about how he left the WWE, a major corporation, and went out into the independent scene. So he really became a small business. So we talk about kind of how that entertainment business works as a small business owner. Austin Aries on a little bit later on in the program. Fantastic interview. And then we talk with Nick Horob with Harvest Profits, startup bootstrap company. Entered the ag world, the software ag world, the IT ag world, if you will, a little bit later on in the program. All right, all that plus much more on today's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch Coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch Coaching.
I got to watch him give a talk at TEDx Brookings, and I saw him come into his own where he shared uncomfortable things from his past in a way that created a teaching environment. And Eric's somebody that could easily lead with all he's accomplished, and it's a long list.
To find out more information about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch come to your company or event, visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com. Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Chris Stone with HCI Alternatives. Talk about your company and how you guys started getting into the opioid addiction fighting.
Well, so we started this company almost 4 years ago. Under the auspices of the new medical marijuana program here in Illinois. And one of the things that we kind of noticed, my wife is a physician, so I get, in the mail, I get copies of the Journal of American Medicine every month. And so one of the things that we noticed were there's some studies that were coming around with respect to opioids and alternate medications for, you know, opioid substitute. And I'm thinking this is now August 2015. The Journal of American Medicine actually came out with a research survey and study that came out and said if you implemented a medical marijuana program in your state, you saw a 25% reduction in deaths due to opioid and opioid abuse. And from that, we were sitting there going, you know what, that is absolutely amazing and probably the most powerful survey or research that we've seen with regards to the benefits of medical marijuana, and that it could be used as a substitute for your pain management. And we kind of took it for granted and said, you know what, we need to develop something along the lines of a campaign that really gets, you know, people to understand what the benefits of medical marijuana are, and potentially as a substitute for opioid abuse and opioid prescriptions, and be able to get that out to the public, but not only to the public, but to the medical community within our geographic territories. And so that's kind of how it started. It started actually a little over a year, maybe a little bit more than a year ago, and we've been kind of moving forward with it, with the idea that, hey, listen, there is medical benefit to medical marijuana.
Okay, great. I got a few notes here I wrote down. I wanted to ask you about the education process. You made a comment about that, and I'm curious to see what your experience has been just having a rash, civil, intelligent conversation about cannabis, whether it be from the research side of things, whether it be from, you know, like actual anecdotes that you were a part of, for example. You know, I mean, you work in the industry, so whether it's something you saw firsthand, not second or third hand, what's it like having conversations with either the average person or the government officials? How is that education process going?
I think it's funny. It's definitely a kind of one-on-one or maybe even a one-on-two conversation. You can have the conversations in forums, and we do conduct regular forums for the public as well as potential patients. But, you know, when you talk to people one-on-one, whether it be patients that we have now or potential patients or, people in the medical community, getting them to understand the value of a medicinal marijuana product or medicinal cannabis product, you find that after about, 30 or 40 minutes of giving them the research and getting them to understand the endocannabinoid system, that they are a lot more receptive to looking into what they could do to, as a physician potentially or a nurse, what they could do to offer cannabis to their patient, or a patient looking into, okay, what can I do to potentially use cannabis to alleviate pain? But I will tell you this, that, you know, we've had Guy J. Cook, who's been working as an outreach person for us. We've got Christy Carlicker, who's working as an outreach person for us, to be able to educate, you know, all sorts of different types of groups within the community to understand what the cannabis, product can do for them. But it's definitely time-consuming, and it's definitely, I would say, kind of a ground game of sorts. You try to do what you can in terms of, you know, social media. You try to do it in terms of, what you can do on the Internet. You know, billboard campaign, we've done those.
To listen to the full-length interview with Chris Stone with HCI Alternatives, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter. All those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet. the Davis Refinery, a project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Jeff Bass and Lee Lindquist with Ridge Enterprises.
This is Jeff Bass with Ridge Enterprises. I'm the owner of the company. We do gas compressor packaging and also into the solar aspect of it.
And my name is Lee Lindquist, also with Ridge Enterprises, and I'm the engineer and software designer for the solar project.
Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us here on the Crude Life Media Network. And I'll kind of give the audience a little bit of the origination of this story. It actually developed on social media where I believe it was Jeff Bass that had circulated some of his either photos or videos about a solar unit hooked up to one of those old donkey rigs out there. And I got to tell you, it was one of the coolest innovation meets old school analog meets digital type of scenarios you could see. And if you go to Ridge Enterprises, I'm sure that either on their social media accounts, they have it there. But so they brought on Lee Lindquist as well, the engineer behind the whole solar project. But we're going to talk about other topics as well. But let's start off with that solar unit, because that to me is really visionary. It just seems like where this whole industry is going. We've talked so much about the connection of oil and gas to natural gas in terms of power generation, but we're starting to see some solar come into it. At least that's what I thought. Jeff, talk to me a little bit about what this solar thing hooked up to the donkey unit is.
Well, it was an idea of mine from about 10 years ago, and I had a lot of contacts in the oil field, obviously, in the electrical part of it, and I kept talking to those guys, trying to figure out a way. We live in such a remote area that a lot of times we don't have access to electricity, and some of these guys don't have access to run off of their own wellhead gas, and they're spending a lot of dollars on propane, and I just couldn't get anybody to believe in the idea, and finally Lee's brother-in-law works for us, and we got to talking about it and got with Lee and kind of discussed what we wanted to do, and Lee designed and engineered the model. We built a prototype and had it out on a lease for 30 days just to test it. That particular well made 6 to 7 barrel of oil and 3 barrel of water and 50 to 60 MCF a day. And in the 30 days, we had no lost production in runtime. And it was just a very, very neat and simple package on the particular wells that we've done so far. The two that you see on LinkedIn are actually in the field working for McCoy Petroleum. But really, it was a godsend to find Lee. He was a person that took it and said, yes, I think it will work. And in about a month, he came back to me and he said, yes, we can make this work. So we got started building our prototype.
And let me ask Lee a question here. When Jeff came to you with this idea, when I saw the video or the on social media, to me it looked like something that a couple guys, no offense, maybe having a beer or two, would put together in the backyard. It just seemed like such basic garage logic. When he came to you with that idea, did you instantly know how it was going to work, or was this something you thought of in the past? Just talk to me a little bit about, because like I said, when you look at it, the visual says, well, duh, it's like two kids putting together an erector set, just hooking things together. But I'm sure there's a lot more complication into it than that.
Yeah, so that's kind of why I was really interested in the whole project. I've got a background in electrical engineering and just a passion for solar and alternative fuels in general. And when Jeff came to me and said, hey, I've got this idea and everybody's told me it can't be done, I said, well, I don't know much about the oil field, but I know something about solar and electrical design, and I'd love to take a look at it and see what could be done. So, yeah, it wasn't an immediate, you know, obvious answer of yes, this will work or no, it wouldn't. It was a let's collect some data and see what it would take to make this thing work. And so we started by just going around to several different pump jacks out in the field, some run with electrical, some on engines with natural gas, some on propane, just kind of looking at the different scenarios. Because I, like I said, I knew up until about a year ago, maybe a little longer, I knew very little about the oil field and have had to had a really rapid education on that. But the biggest challenge that we faced was overcoming the difference in torque on these pumping units when you're lifting the weights, or depending on how they're balanced, you know, typically when you're lifting the weights, there's a lot higher torque requirement. And then when the weights are falling, it's got a regenerative moment where it actually, the pump jack will try to accelerate the engine or the motor that's powering it, and managing all of that without any type of storage. This system that we built has no batteries, no ultra capacitors or anything like that. It's all managing it actively within the variable speed drive, and that's kind of where the magic happens, or where the secret sauce is being able to control that the speed and the torque of that motor to run it on an intermittent power source.
Are you finding that people are opening more doors and at least listening to you?
Oh yeah, they're always willing to listen to us. It's just it's hard to get people's minds wrapped around you know, using solar and then selling your available natural gas if that's what you're powering on. A lot of old school stuff that people are just a little skeptical about, and we've been blessed with McCoy allowing us to you know, use them basically as a guinea pig. It's worked. Everybody wants to listen. We just like them to open up the checkbook.
Yeah, that's easier said than done. I mean, the one thing I've noticed about a lot of these oil companies is, you know, if the one company's willing to put in a little bit of sweat equity, they'll see if the numbers work. And then, you know, if the numbers work, well, then, hey, what the heck? You know, they're all about the numbers and that sort of thing. But the science project and the guinea pig, and those terms are accurate. I mean, that's right, because, I mean, everybody's trying to figure out how to create this. And then it just seems like it becomes exponential after that, to where once you figure out how to tweak the different things, it becomes a lot more smooth sailing. How close are you guys to getting, you know, some of the stuff tweaked? I mean, are you at the point where you're ready to talk turkey in terms of numbers yet, or are we still kind of trying to finalize the secret sauce, so to speak?
I'll let Lee answer that.
Sure. Yeah, we've done quite a bit of development on the system, and have a couple of sites that are permanently installed that are performing very well. So we're ready to install more systems if the interest is out there, and if a lot of it comes down to the site specifics. So we are pairing a variable intermittent renewable resource, being, you know, solar power, with the geology of the specific situation. So we don't know necessarily ahead of time what the storage in the formation is going to be like.
To listen to the full-length interview with Jeff Bass and Lee Lindquist of Ridge Enterprises, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Of course, all of those social media links can be found at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Well, the tide went out, honey, you came in. The tide came in, honey, you went out. The tide went out, honey, you came in. The tide came in, honey, you went out. The California dreamer, she's lost.
Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
I think it's a really exciting time for our young leaders today because leaders like Eric Hatch are changing the face of what it means to lead an organization or what it means to lead a brand. He's changing that. For many years, I think that the gold standard of leadership has been somebody who is very polished and has it all together or seemingly has it all together. And throughout the years, I think that we've now, especially with technology and social media, we are drawn to what's real.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Mark your calendars for June 15th. That's the Bakken Barbecue. Mark your calendars today, June 15th. The Bakken Barbecue coming to Dickinson, North Dakota. Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, we talk with Austin Aries, professional wrestler, speaker, and author.
You just mentioned that you were only with WWE for 18 months, and they wouldn't really let you, I guess, utilize that platform. Are the indies allowing this? Is it turning into be? I assume you're still doing some professional wrestling in addition to the books. Is that true, or...?
Oh yeah. I had a 90-day period where basically it's called a no-compete clause, where they pay you to not wrestle for anybody else. And, during that time, I started to do some of these other, events and stuff more in the plant-based community. So here's the interesting thing about professional wrestling. We're all classified as independent contractors. But when you sign with a company like WWE, you basically sign over your life. They own you, for lack of a better term. So now that I'm actually truly an independent contractor again, and I make my own schedule and I pick and choose where and when I wrestle, my schedule is actually very full. I've got about 12 dates starting tonight, running through the rest of this year, and I have more, I have more things in my inbox and opportunities in my inbox than I could possibly handle. So, it is important for me to continue to use this platform of professional wrestling to help and spread the message of the plant-based lifestyle. And, it is a great thing that, there's an opportunity for people to do that, because the one thing you have to remember about corporations is that, by definition and by law, they don't have to have a conscience. They're only beholden to their shareholders and to show profit. And I think the biggest problem in this country and with the capitalist idea is that we continually put profits over people. And until that changes, we're not going to see any real difference and real change in this world.
In addition to being a professional wrestler, I mean, to be one, you're also, you've got some size to you. You've got some muscle to you. People's first reaction when it comes to, vegan or plant-based is, they're thinking of people that are very thin and that sort of thing. What do you tell people? What advice do you give people? Because you're in very good shape. I mean, you've got to be around, 5% body fat, 200 pounds, something like that.
Yeah, well, I'm actually undersized for the wrestling industry. I'm about 5'8", 5'9", and I'll sit anywhere between 175 and 185 pounds. So in some of these speaking engagements, I kind of joke. I say I confuse people because they look at me and they say, "Well, you're too small to be a professional wrestler, but you're too big to be a vegan. So how does that work?" And I say, "Well, somehow I'm both." But yeah, listen, the whole concept that you need to eat animals for protein to build muscles is just flawed, and it's completely false. Your body, when it breaks down proteins into amino acids and then uses those amino acids to rebuild and repair your muscle tissue, it doesn't differentiate or know the difference between an animal protein and a plant protein when it breaks it down into an amino acid. And really, protein isn't the isn't the magic bullet, so to speak, that allows you to put on muscle. It's calories and nutrients. So as long as you're consuming more calories in than you're exporting out, and you have enough protein and enough amino acids to build muscle, you're going to be fine. And but again, you know, follow the money and the message now that we're telling people, and even your everyday Jane and Joes who just have a 9-to-5 and aren't trying to keep on mass or put on size, or they're not breaking their body down on a regular basis as people in my profession do. They think that they need these copious amounts of protein, and it's just false. But again, that's because that's what they're trying to sell you. That's where they're trying to make their money. You know, for a while the calcium was the big reason why we needed to drink milk, right? We need milk for calcium, which is funny because, you know, milk actually can deplete the bones of calcium. So it's kind of self-fulfilling prophecy. But, you know, now that that's kind of been debunked and we realize there's all these other calcium sources, they've now switched their campaign to milk for protein. So again, you know, I just encourage people, and again, my book's not about making anybody go vegan. It's about, you know, peeling back some layers and challenging people, you know, to look at conventional wisdom and what they think they know because of what they've been taught or what they've been indoctrinated into, and take a second look and realize that, maybe coming all the way to my end of my spectrum and being completely plant-based might not be for them, but this other indoctrination that we've been given, where every meal is meat, dairy, or eggs, every meal is meat, dairy, or eggs, and I ask people this all the time, what's the last meal you had? Not a snack, but the last meal that you sat down and had that didn't have meat, dairy, or eggs. And I get a bunch of blank stares, and people can't recall the last time. And I know the feeling, because for the first 22 years of my life, I was the exact same way.
Am I hearing this right, that your approach to this whole lifestyle is almost more of a logical approach rather than an ethical towards animals approach? Not that it's not, but it almost seems more logical than that.
Well, you know, I think, and I talk about it in my book, you know, there was this moment back when I was about 7 or 8, my grandparents had a small farm, and I was feeding some grass to the cow through the fence, and we had a moment, you know, where I was staring in these big eyes of this cow, and it was looking back at me while I was feeding it, and there was this connection there, and I realized, you know, it's just a living creature, it's thinking, it's feeling, I may not speak its language, but, you know, we had this moment, which sounds kind of silly. And then, you know, 20 minutes later, dinner was ready, and we're eating brats and burgers, and I kind of, you know, put the correlation together, and it didn't sit right with me, right? So I think at a base level, the idea of eating other living creatures really is off-putting to me, and it always was, but you just do it, you do what's around you, right? If you want to have dessert, you got to eat your dinner, so to speak. And you didn't really ask too many questions. And again, you know, in the 80s in Wisconsin, of all places, the idea of being vegetarian or vegan wasn't something that, you know, you heard of. It just wasn't a thing. But there was always something that just was off-putting to me about eating these things when you really think about what they are, whether it's the secretions of animals, whether it's the eggs, you know, when you really think about what an egg is, or when you're actually talking about the flesh itself. So that part always was sitting in me. When I started to actually, you know, peel back layers and realize where the food was coming from, it wasn't coming from my grandma and grandpa's farm. It was coming from these huge corporate slaughterhouses. That's a whole different ballgame. You know, and then looking into what the health factors were. So when I put all these things together, there was just this one point where, you know, I was making a bunch of chicken breasts because I was, you know, starting to train to wrestle, and, you know, I'm buying into that. I need protein for muscle. I'm getting back in the gym, getting back my physique that I'd lost in college, which was, you know, quite easy to do. And I was cooking up all these chicken breasts one day, and it all kind of hit me with everything that I've been learning and my gut instinct. And I just said, you know what, this is really gross, and I think I'm done with this. And the next day, I stopped eating meat. And so again, like, I'm not a pet person. I grew up around pets. You know, my family had pets, but my life isn't conducive to me having pets. I mean, I'd love to have a dog, but I travel way too much. It would be selfish to try to do that. But I can have a respect and I can have a love for all living creatures without having to be a pet person, or without having to take that angle of trying to, you know, shame or shock people into making these decisions. Because like yourself, there's a lot of different angles you can take to try to appeal to people. And the one that for me is the most successful is, hey, go right to the basic selfish level of the person, which is your own health and well-being. And then also don't try to force anything on them or tell them it has to be all or nothing approach. You know, again, I say, I'm not sitting there trying to shove anybody in the deep end of the pool before they know if the water's nice or if they can even swim. I encourage people to just sit down and put their feet in, because I'm confident enough that once they do and they feel how nice it is, that they'll slip in themselves and they'll be swimming on their own in no time.
Austin Aries on the line with us, professional wrestler, also author, Food Fight, My Plant-Powered Journey from the Bingo Halls to the Big Time. Travel and diet is what I wanted to get at. Is that difficult for you to do that? I mean, is it easy? You know, I mean, are you drinking four meals a day? Are these all protein shakes? Or what kind of diet are you having when you're on the road so much?
No, I think if you want to eat a good diet, and travel can be challenging anyway. I mean, most of your food choices, if you're going to go eat out or these fast food places, I don't care if you're plant-based or not going to be very good for you. So, I always tell people that, so what's the hardest part? I said, the hardest part is committing to that this is now a priority. Once you move it up your priority list, you now commit more of your resources, your time, your money, and your energy. And so, when people say it's expensive to be healthy, well, it is if you don't want to use your time or your energy. If you want somebody else to do the work for you, then it's going to be very expensive. But, what I like to do is I prepare food in my house. I like to cook, which is obviously a benefit for me. And, I have a travel cooler. And, for example, for today, I made some pizza last night. I love pizza. And the great thing is, they make, BioLife is a great cheese that I've discovered. That's a coconut oil-based cheese.
To listen to the full-length interview with Austin Aries, professional wrestler, speaker, and author, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Of course, all of those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
A blue hat's in these brown shoes. I got these blue hats, brown shoes. A whole paper's telling new news, which is flying around on broken road.
The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
Yeah, I mean, this guy gets people laughing. He gets people thinking. He's somebody that challenges and inspires. And what I think is so beautiful about Eric is he's real. I think the number one thing that I look for in speakers when we bring them into our platforms is that they're that person 365 days a year. Eric is not just a speaker on a stage. That's who he is at the grocery store. That's who he is when he's at the mall. But Eric is somebody that lives his values each and every day. And I think we can all respect that.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery, a project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
June 15th, save the date. That's June 15th, the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. That's June 15th. Be sure to save the date today, and we'll see you June 15th at the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, we talk with Nick Horob with Harvest Profits.
And what's your background? Harvest Profit, first of all, company, like a 30-second elevator pitch, if you will, the summary, and then what's your background?
Sure. We build a farm management software product that really focuses on the business side of the farm with the goal of allowing farmers to make more objective, numbers-based, profitable decisions over time. I grew up in Western North Dakota, worked for a private equity firm in Minneapolis for my first few years out of college, And then when commodity prices boomed in 2008, started talking to friends and family on the farm and just realized they love to farm. They love to grow crops. But the business side of the farm was oftentimes an afterthought. And so started out doing consulting for farmers, and that has transitioned and branched off into also offering a software product that complements the consulting work that I've done.
Where are you at? Where are you from in Western North Dakota?
Born in Williston, North Dakota.
That's. Have you been back there lately? I also do an oil and gas program. So, do you got any stories of the oil and gas world? You're primarily ag, I understand that, but given your Williston roots,
there's a lot of a lot of stories, a lot of growth. There's been some ups and downs out there, but anytime you grow a population like that, that's just what you. That's just the nature of the beast. Just have seen some really wild opportunities, and it's been pretty amazing what people I know have been able to build out there on the back of the domestic oil revolution, really.
And the reason I bring that up, I'm going somewhere with this, is that the oil industry has really taken off out in Western North Dakota. You don't live there now. It sounds like you've been in college, and then so you live in Fargo. How long have you been away from the Bakken, Western North Dakota?
So I left the Bakken and I left Williston in 2003. So right at its infancy of when it was getting started in Montana. Growing up, all of my friends' parents who lived through the early 80s oil boom steered us away from the oil field, but this hydraulic fracturing lead revolution out there has led to a lot of amazing opportunities that if I was a couple years younger would have probably chosen a completely different path and jumped on that bandwagon.
Well, I think you did, and the reason I bring that up is that oil is going through big data right now. And farming is going through big data right now to where it's really taking over the industry to the tune to where CEOs have told me an oil paradigm shift, rewriting our business model because of the innovations of technology. Now, yeah, it's hydraulic fracturing, and yeah, it's tractors that drive by themselves, but it's more the software that is really the innovation side. Talk to me about what your product is doing to the agriculture world.
So actually, we're taking a slightly different approach. We are taking a big data approach and bringing it to the farm in what I call small data. So we're allowing farmers to track their profitability on a field-by-field level, on a crop-year basis, and allow them to make those small data decisions on their farm and just bring a modern, intuitive user interface and easy-to-use software along with that.
A basic question, who's your customer?
So our customer, we have about 160 farms using our software across 29 states and provinces. Average is from 20 years old to 40 years old. So essentially a farmer who's taken over his family's farm from an older generation, probably let's say in the last 10 years, and realizing that there's a lot of big dollar decisions that need to be made on their farm, and they need an easy tool to help them track the impact of those decisions over time.
All right, final thoughts here. Just kind of any final words, final thoughts you might have about your business or anything we left out?
Really love the ag sector. Interesting you bring up the oil industry. At the end of the day, people drive by, they see farms, they see oil pumpers, and they don't necessarily understand that there is a lot of dollars and a lot of financial decisions being made that goes into the oil industry, that goes into farming. And we're really excited about helping build a tool set that'll make these financial decisions easier for farming business owners that weren't formally trained.
To listen to the full-length interview with Nick Horab with Harvest Profits or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All of those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
Jump over the candlestick. Why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
And that concludes this week's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. For a full list of today's guest and interview, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. We'll be back next week on this radio station at this time. For a full list of our radio affiliates and other media partners, please visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and from the staff here at Coffee and Capitalism Radio, we're asking you to be happy, make money, and give back. Thanks for joining us this week, folks.
Sign on our front porch saying, hot stuff for sale, why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
Seems like no matter who I talk to in the world of business these days, people are telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what Jeff Schatz, superintendent of the Fargo Public Schools, has to say about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching.
I just thought that his story about how he talks about the struggles that he and his family went through in having children, and how, you know, everybody has a hot mess, and how do you deal with that in life? And I just thought that really resonates well with, you know, folks. And so I thought that would be a great message for everybody to hear. Well, then beyond that, I've also seen Eric do some of the other things that he does with emceeing and leading other types of things that he does. He does coaching, I know, with students where the principals have hired him to come in and do that. So I just extended that opportunity for him to be the MC too. He was very well received.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies.
Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? You need a raise.